Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Video games are fun, but how can we stay healthy when we're playing them? Let's discuss. Hey, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell, and back in the studio with me, we have Peter. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Campbell. Hello, everyone.
All right, so we are on day two of our entertainment article, and we've been talking about video games. Yesterday, we talked about some of the benefits and then some of the risks involved with video games. So first, let's talk about some of the benefits. What are some of the benefits that are in that video games might bring to us?
Right. Well, as we learned yesterday, video games, particularly action video games, as opposed to video games that are more about storytelling or slowly exploring a world, action video games have been shown to improve reaction time, sort of hand-eye coordination. They may also help with multitasking, with being able to attend to several tasks more or less all at the same time or in the same period of time.
Right. And then there's also the social aspect, right?
Yeah.
So most modern video game consoles allow people to connect to the internet. They're able to play with different people, you know, in different households, different people around the world. They're able to connect and chat with people as they're playing. So it creates a social component. So there are some good benefits, right? But yesterday we also talked about some of the risks involved. And a lot of it has to do with the sedentary nature of playing video games, right? First thing that we talked about is that excessive, meaning that you're playing it for hours on end, excessive video game time can be associated with lack of sleep, probably because people are playing late into the night, and poor nutrition, meaning they're not really feeding themselves while they're playing. Okay.
Right.
What else did we find out are some of the risks with competitive gaming?
Right. Well, competitive gamers report often eye fatigue, neck, back, hand, and wrist pain, which, you know, you can sort of figure out because you're sitting in a very limited position, just very intensely using your hand to work the joystick or the console controller, or your wrist. And your eyes, obviously, staring at the screen, very easy for them to get tired.
Right.
And overall, we had a line from the article yesterday that the risks from gaming are both broad and specific. So
yes.
The eye, the neck, the hand, those are specific things that can be affected by excessive video game playing. But broadly speaking, video gaming can also lead to an undesirable body mass index, or an undesirable relationship between how tall you are and how much you weigh.
Right, yeah. So people with the same body mass index, they are the same height, same weight. The ones that are competitive gamers, they have more fat as opposed to those who are not competitive gamers, right? So they might be the same weight. Two people might be the same weight. But the ones that are competitive gamers, most likely because they're sitting most of the time, they end up with higher body fat levels and significantly less muscle mass. All right. Also, players' heart rates can soar as an unhealthy stress response. And this combined with immobility can lead to a specific type of clot called gamer's thrombosis, which sounds very daunting. And then there's the mental health aspect as well. All right. So there are good, there are bad. Again, we said yesterday that digital media is not inherently good or bad. It's, you know, it depends on how you use it and what you use it for. But there are ways that we can stay healthy while playing games and while entertaining ourselves. So that's what we're going to look at today. So if you will join us for today's article, we'll start where it says 6 simple steps can prevent many gaming-related problems.
simple steps can help prevent many gaming-related problems, Nagata and Donahue said. 1. Move something besides your thumbs. Donahue and her colleagues have measured the effects of taking an hourly 6-minute walking break on a small group of competitive gamers. In one study, gamers who took such a break saw significant improvement in their blood flow volume and velocity. In a separate study Donahue led, competitive players who took a walk break improved cognitive performance with shorter planning and solution times on problem-solving tasks. 2. Fuel up carefully. In research on young adolescents, more time gaming has been associated with a less nutritious diet and a higher BMI, Nagata said. If you are eating while you're distracted, you're more likely to eat junk foods, he said. You're also less likely to pay attention to your hunger or fullness cues, so you might eat more than you otherwise would if you were not distracted in front of screens. Avoid mixing eating and gaming, he said. 3. Try active games. Some games do encourage motion, Nagata said. These exer games can help players avoid being sedentary.
All right, so let's talk about what are some ways that we can play smarter? What are some ways that we can help prevent many gaming-related problems? So what was number one?
Right. Well, number one, and maybe the most obvious one, hopefully the most obvious one, is move something besides your thumbs. Obviously, when we play video games, the thumbs get a lot of workout using that joystick, using that console. But for, you know, long-term health, get up, walk around, take a break. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to start a home workout routine or anything, although that would be great. Mm-hmm. But the study here shows that simply taking a 6-minute walk, just walking around the house almost for 6 minutes, led to a significant improvement in the blood flow volume and velocity of gamers, of competitive gamers. Blood flow volume, I think we understand that. Blood flow velocity, I'd never thought about this actually, that the speed at which your blood moves through your body is a factor. But you think about it, it makes sense. If your blood is moving very slowly, then that's going to have an impact on you.
Yeah, for sure. So taking an hourly 6-minute walking break. Now, for me, I was like, wow, so they're playing for more than an hour. And I guess that makes sense. I mean, if they're competitive, they're probably playing for hours at a time. And I think the challenge is that you can get so into the video game, you don't want to leave.
Oh, you know,
you don't want to stop.
Oh, yes.
Right?
No.
And it can be very addictive. And also just the idea is you just want to win. You want to get to that next level. You want to succeed. You want to push forward and you're almost there. And so you don't want to take a break. So it can be counterintuitive to stop. But Donahue did a separate study and they found that competitive players who did take a break and they did walk away for 6 minutes, they actually improved their performance.
Yeah. That's really the great news here, is not only does it improve your physical health, improve your blood flow, but it also may make you better at playing the game because it also improves your cognitive performance, your conscious thinking, your mind's activity with shorter planning and solution times on problem-solving tasks. I mean, that's what a video game is. It's one big problem to solve in some way, an entertaining and engaging problem. But nevertheless, that's basically what it is. And the study here is saying, hey, take a 6-minute walk every hour and odds are you'll score better.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense because even just in my own life, like, you know, sometimes I'm writing an article and I get stuck or, you know, even playing, like, I like to play word games and sometimes I get stuck. But when I just kind of put it down and walk away for a little bit and then I come back, all of a sudden I'm unstuck. All of a sudden, you know, the solution comes to me.
Right.
And I think that just comes from mental fatigue, right? Because sometimes when you're thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, your brain just kind of it gets tired. And also you just see the same thing over and over. But when you walk away and you just kind of take your eyes or your mind off of it, all of a sudden you're coming back with fresh eyes and a fresh mind, and you all of a sudden have a new, you know, new insight that maybe you didn't have before.
Yeah.
Right?
It can feel counterintuitive because it's like I'm walking away from the problem. I'm not working on it now. But you're actually enabling your body and mind to work better on the problem when you come back.
Right. And I mean, this is the same with when you're doing exercise, right? Like I said, I just was at the gym, you know, and when you're at the gym, you do your sets, right? You do kind of 10, 15 reps, but then you got to take a break and let your muscles reset, you know, and then you can go again, right? But if you keep pushing through, you're just going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. And then another thing we talked about yesterday was the idea of nutrition, right? When people are playing games excessively, nutrition becomes an issue. So number two has to do with nutrition. It says fuel up carefully. So what is the advice here?
Right. The advice here is it's sort of something to avoid, not so much something to do. And what you want to avoid here is to eat while you're distracted, because according to the findings of the study was that when you eat while you're distracted, when you eat while you're doing something, working on a task in some way, apparently, you're more likely to eat junk food.
For sure.
You're more likely to eat unhealthy food. A little junk food now and then is fine. But if this is ongoing or for an extended period of time, then, you know, you're doing your body no good by just eating junk food.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, when you're playing a video game, you're also multitasking and you're just so focused on the video games, you don't actually have time to prepare nutritious food,
exactly.
Right? You want something that's convenient, something that you can just grab and eat as you're playing. And most of the time, the food that is convenient is processed and it's just, you know, chips and cookies.
Right.
And
something that comes in a bag.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just easy to grab. You know, exactly. you're not actually preparing a nutritious meal. You're not going to want to eat vegetables and all that stuff, right?
Right.
And so most of the time when you're distracted, you're more likely to eat junk foods. And then the other problem is that when you're playing games and eating, you're less likely to pay attention to your hunger or fullness cues. You're not aware that you're just eating because you're eating and that you're not necessarily hungry.
Right, right. Those hunger or fullness cues, you know, when we haven't had something to eat and we become hungry, we feel that. We become maybe a little irritable or we feel something in our stomach, a physical reaction. That's a hunger cue. It means body is telling us, time to eat, time to get food. But when you're distracted, particularly by playing a video game, you will be less aware of, you will pay less attention to those hunger or fullness cues, and you'll just eat as you feel, as you want to, not because you're hungry or because you're full, and that's when you're not eating very smartly.
Right, and this is what will lead to a higher BMI, and we talked about BMI yesterday, right? So this is what's going to cause you to store more fat, lose more muscle, and have a higher BMI, okay? And so the advice here is to avoid mixing eating and gaming, all right? But again, the challenge is that when you're in the middle of that video game, you don't want to stop. So you're just trying to, you know, you're just trying to do two things at once and just kind of eat as quickly as you can so you can get back to the game. Again, that goes back to number one. Make sure you take that break and just eat and take care of your body.
Right. Yeah. Take a walk. Take a walk down to the noodle shop and, you know, get some noodles or something.
Yeah.
You can get two birds with one stone.
Yes. All right. And number three, try active games. Active games. So some games do encourage motion, Nagata said. These exer games can help players avoid being sedentary. Now, exer games is an interesting phrase. It's a combination of the word exercise and games. And what are these exer games?
Yeah, I like these. I've seen a couple of them. They've been around actually for a decade or two now. I think back to the early 2000s when there was the Wii console, W-I-I, and you could play tennis in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
That you would get a racket of some sort and it would be simulated on the screen, of course, but to play the game, you would have to get up and swing the racket and effectively play tennis. And I haven't played many games like that since then, but I'm aware that they're are still out there. I've seen ads for games where you can like go for a jog through a fantasy land of some sort.
Right.
And I just think that's a great idea to combine video games with physical movement.
Yeah, there's dance games where you have to, you know, mimic.
Dance Revolution,
exactly.
Of course.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. You have to mimic movements on the screen. One that I actually downloaded on my phone that I can recommend to everybody is called Active Arcade. Mm. It's a free app. You can download it on your phone, and then you kind of attach it to your TV somehow. You project it to your TV. And basically, it's just a bunch of active games where you have to jump and squat and move and touch, and it's fun, you know, and the uses your phone's camera as a sensor and just kind of you move around. And so I do it with my kids. It's a fun way to play games together, but we have to stay active, right? And you have some games you have to jump, some games you have to crawl, some games you have to duck, you know, and just helps you to stay physical, right? So you're not just sitting there the whole time.
Yeah. That's great. What's it called?
Active Arcade.
Active Arcade.
Yeah, A-C-T-I-V-E, and then arcade, like, you know, what you used to go to as a kid.
Right.
Arcade. Okay, Active Arcade. All right. Well, we have three more pieces of advice. Let's listen to them now.
Four, turn off screens before bed. In a 2024 survey by the Pew Research Center, 41% of teens said video games had hurt their sleep. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends turning off screens an hour before bedtime and keeping video games in common areas to help parents keep an eye on use. 5. Monitor and get buy-in. Parents should pay attention to ratings, which can help keep inappropriate games away from children, Donahue said. Nagata said it's important to get buy-in from children on restrictions, though. You have to pick your battles. 6. Have fun, but check yourself. Video games are about entertainment, leisure, and recreation, Nagata said. But every so often, he said, ask yourself how you're feeling. If your reply is, oh wow, the last hour has passed, I don't know what happened, and I kind of feel tired and cranky, then it might be time to also ask, what else could I be doing? Maybe go outside? Maybe take a walk or meet up with some friends in person?
Okay, so number four, turn off screens before bed, which I feel like is good advice for everyone.
Yes.
Right? Not just for gamers or teens. But in a 2024 survey by the Pew Research Center, 41% of teens said video games had hurt their sleep. Okay, so the American Academy of Pediatrics has a recommendation. And what is that?
Right. Turn off screens an hour before bedtime.
Do you do that, Peter?
I'd like to say that I do that, but
it's hard.
It is hard. I just, in the world we live in the age we live in, where screens are so much a part of our lives, it's hard to do that. Although I do know people who have had to discipline themselves in that way in order to get a good night's sleep. I have not really had a problem with sleep. I'm just blessed in that way.
Right.
But certainly, if you do find yourself having trouble with sleep, take a close look at how late you are looking at screens at night.
Yes, yes. And then keeping video games in common areas to help parents keep an eye on use. I think that's just good advice in general. I am not an expert, but I wouldn't recommend that teens or kids be even allowed to have computers or TVs in their rooms, you know, because you just never know what they're looking at these days.
Yes, and these days they can access just about anything.
Yeah. So I would say just even keeping TVs and computers out of the rooms in general and just making sure everybody stays in the common areas to help parents keep an eye on it. But the problem is, though, you have to – you can't just monitor. You have to get your kids to agree.
Right.
And that's the next piece of advice here. Monitor and get buy-in. What are we talking about when we're talking about getting buy-in?
Right. Buy-in, that's a fairly contemporary term, but it means, like you said, it means to get agreement, to get everyone to buy in. You know, like we might want to buy something. Well, in this case, let's buy the idea that I'm suggesting. Let's all agree to it. Let's all cooperate together on it.
Right. And so it's not just monitoring the idea, you know, like what they're playing, but, you know, parents should also pay attention to ratings, okay, which can help keep inappropriate games away from children. So just like movies and TV shows have certain ratings that let people know the content of the movie or TV show so that people can determine whether it's appropriate for certain audiences, right? Like I wouldn't take my kids to an R-rated movie, perhaps. There are certain ratings on the video games. So it lets you know that some of the, you know, maybe if it's a killing game, it can be very graphic and or it can be quite scary or intense, and that might not be suitable for young children. But the key here is that you have to get buy-in from children. You have to explain to them why you're not allowing them to play this game when maybe their friends are playing this game.
Right, right. And that's going to be tricky because different families, different households have different values, and some, not all, will see things in the same way. And so Nagata uses a good expression here when he says you have to pick your battles.
I feel like that is just the mantra of a parent.
Yes.
I feel like I am also always reminding myself just to pick my battles. Because there's certain things where, you know, I have to always remind myself my kids are people as well. They're individuals with their own mindsets. I can't force them to do anything. I can't. The more I try to control them, you know, they might listen when I'm in their presence, but as soon as I turn around or I'm not around them, they're just going to go back to doing what they want to do.
Right.
And so getting this buy-in is important, right? Especially if teens a lot sometimes are in the house by themselves, right? And if you don't get the buy-in, as soon as you're out of the house, they're just going to sneak around playing those games anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So you really have to explain and get them to understand the thought process behind, you know, especially with kids nowadays. I feel like when we were kids, it was more just, it was less, there was less like, okay, I get my own opinions, I get my own autonomy, I get to have a say. You know, it was like whatever my parents said, go, right? But I feel like nowadays there is a lot more of, oh, we have to talk to the kids, we have to get them to agree, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, picking your battles, right? Choosing what are the things that you really want to insist on, and what are the some other things that maybe you can compromise on or not push so hard on.
Right. That you can, kind of let slide, as we say.
Right. Like, for example, and this is a silly example, but, you know, I'm someone who really cares about clothes and how we look, and my kids not necessarily, or they have their own sense of style, right? And so going to church on Sunday, sometimes there's a bit of a conflict. I'm like, you should wear this, and they're like, no, I want to wear that. And I'm like, but that's sloppy. So I can sit there and fight them and force them to wear it, or I could just be like, you know what, I'm just going to pick my battles. I'm not going to fight them on this. Let them wear that, because I probably need to then fight them later on something else.
Right. It's not that you don't actually care about the issue. It's that there's a bigger issue that you need more of that, what we sometimes say, emotional capital.
Yes.
Yeah, or clout, like you say. The battle for, say, eating properly or staying out past a certain time, that you're going to need more of your clout, your leverage to win that battle with the kids rather than this maybe smaller, less consequential battle.
Right. All right. And the last piece of advice is have fun, but check yourself. So again, we're not saying don't play video games. Video games are bad. Again, they're not inherently good or bad. Enjoy yourself. Video games are about entertainment, leisure, and recreation. But every so often, you should check in with yourself and ask how you're feeling, right?
Right. And if your reply to yourself is, this is well phrased here, oh, wow, the last hour has passed. I don't know what happened. I mean, I know I was here playing video games, but I feel like I could have been doing almost anything. There's a sort of a cloud in my mind. Mm-hmm. I feel kind of tired, feel kind of cranky. Again, this doesn't mean call the hospital, but it does mean that it might be time for a break.
Yeah. And I think this applies not just to video games. It could be, you're watching, you're streaming movies, right?
Yeah, exactly.
On Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever, you're watching YouTube and you're sitting there and or social media, Instagram, YouTube,
right.
You're sitting there and you're scrolling. And, you know, an hour, 2 hours passes by and you're like, whoa, where did the time go?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
And how am I feeling, you know? And if you happen to be tired and those things, even though you're not necessarily being active and physical, they can be taxing on you.
Right.
And so it can cause you to be tired and you might start feeling cranky. Well, then that's when you need to ask yourself, well, can I be doing something else? Maybe I need to go outside. Maybe I can do some gardening. Maybe I can go take a walk, meet up with some friends in person, do something else so that you're not just on your phone or on the device.
Right. We're not saying go join a monastery or something or, you know, nothing radical. Just take a 6-minute walk so that you don't feel cranky. I love that word, cranky, just a word that means bad-tempered, irritable, just, you know, kind of not profoundly depressed or bitter, but just a bad mood.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, there are a lot of good things and some bad things about video games, and we have given you some advice. I mean, we all, you know, for the most part, a lot of us are playing games here and there or watching TV here and there. And I think the idea here is do it all in moderation.
Yes.
Right? Most of us are not competitive gamers, but we do probably spend hours on end, you know, maybe watching movies, you know, and we are just on our phones, on social media a lot. And I think all of this advice can be applicable to that as well.
Sure. Right? Screen time is screen time.
Yeah. So make sure that you are moving something else besides your thumbs. You want to make sure that you're eating well, right? You don't want to be just snacking mindlessly. And try to play active games and turn off screens before bed. And monitor, like, even for yourself as an adult, right?
Yeah.
What are you watching? Because
whatever
you're watching, you're feeding your brain, and those things can affect your mood and your mental health. So what are you watching? You know, I have to monitor myself a lot of times as well. You know,
I
have had to stop watching certain programs or TV shows because I'm like, oh, I don't like how that's making me feel.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And so I'm monitoring myself, right? And then also just check in on yourself. Like, okay, am I doing all right? If maybe I need to take a break, maybe I need to get up and walk around. All right, well, we have another section to this article for this month, and we're talking about how we can bring the family together. And that is something that I think a lot of us do want to do when we're playing games. So make sure you join us again tomorrow for the last part of this article. Until then, this is Campbell.
And this is Peter.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.